You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
Welcome to the Fourth Line Podcast in partnership with Last Word on Sports. This is April the 8th, 2017, and with you today is myself, Carl. And as we learned at the end of last week's show, the always wonderful Joel, not with us. We are very excited to have Nick Sagan, Managing Editor of Wings Nation, with us. Nick, welcome to the Fourth Line.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, talk about some wrestling, talk about some barbecue. Is there anything else you guys talk about?
Sometimes we talk about hockey.
Hockey, that's right. Yeah.
Every right. Now and again. Let's start there. What's your favorite go-to barbecue?
Oh, go-to barbecue? I'm just a fan of a good steak. Just straight up.
Yeah, medium rare.
Medium rare, every time.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's the way to have it. So, well, we can maybe get into some more barbecue talk later, but first, this is a monumentous occasion because, you know, typically we have Joel, the Leafs fan, going to likely be in the playoffs, 84% chance as we record right now. I like those odds. He doesn't. He is in a terrible place right now.
Leafs Nation is very scary.
At least once a day, I get a message from him. Hockey is dead to me. So that's arguably part of the reason why he's not here right now. But a Wings fan and Avs fan doing a show. And I find, you know, the rivalry has been high at points. And now that we're both at or near the bottom, I feel a little camaraderie between us. What do you agree?
I would agree with that. I think there's a little, back padding going on right now. If anything, there's a competition to see who can be worse, but I don't think anyone can beat you guys at that.
Yeah, we've got that on lockdown for now.
I don't even think you could call it a rivalry anymore. Obviously, it's, you know, lately there's been a lot more talk of it because of the last year at the Joe and the 20th anniversary just came and went. I don't think I've watched the Fight Night at the Joe video more times than I have this in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was nice to go back and remember that and relive it. Certainly the rivalry, not what it was. That said, the most excited moment I've had all year was when the Avs beat the Wings in Denver. That was quite literally the only time my team has brought me extended joy this entire season. I was so content. I put on my jersey the next day. People, oh, is your team in town? No, they won a game. I'm celebrating. So I had to explain that to everyone at work, but hey. Well,
glad we could help with that.
Yeah. Thank you for that one shining moment. I've had Wings fans reach out to me and say, you know, we're in this together. We can do this. And frankly, like, obviously, the streak is over for the Wings, so that's a big deal. However, how dire are things for the Detroit Red Wings right now?
They're pretty, I mean, I guess if you're going to put it on a scale from 1 to 10, I'd say it's a 5, conservatively. I think that there's some hope. There are some things to look forward to. The young kids are impressive. You know, Athanasiu and Mantha, Larkin, even some of the guys on the Griffins like Svechnikov, they're exciting hockey players to watch, and I think that they're going to be good hockey players. That being said, none of them are that like one superstar that your team needs to really elevate it to the next level. And this is where the bad comes in, is that their salary cap going into the 2020s is so messed up that I don't think they could afford one of those elite superstars. I was just going to say, they also have their entire decor is like middle to bottom pair defensemen. So that doesn't help.
No, that's not a healthy place to be. And we did get a question from Brett on Twitter asking, and use the scale 1 to 10. Let's lift the question up. Ken Holland, how confident are you that he's the guy that can build this team back to even a playoff team? He asks a cup contender, but being back into the playoffs, how confident are you in that?
Squeezing back into the playoffs, I'm a little more confident in him. I think he can, you know, make some of those smaller tweaks to the roster that can just kind of get them there. I mean, this team was killed with injuries all season. Jimmy Howard was having an amazing season. I think I wrote a piece way earlier in the year about how, like, he could have been in the Vezina talk with the numbers he was putting up, and then he was sidelined for like 6 weeks. And then Peter Mrazek was really shaky all season. The power play was awful, but they've started to kind of find that in the last month or so of the season. So, you know, if all that stuff was there all year, they could have squeezed into the playoffs. They wouldn't have made noise. They're not good enough to go all the way. To be a cup contender, I'm much less confident, especially seeing what he's done with the contracts and the salary cap. It's not confidence inducing at all.
So same thing. Obviously, it's been a downward trend since Babcock left. Jeff Blashill, is he the coach to take you there?
I think Jeff Blashill's a good coach. He's been taking a lot of heat lately because he's been really rough on the young guys all year. They've been some of our best point producers. Like, Athanasiou is leading the team in goals per 60. Yet he's being benched to playing like 6 minutes a night, by Blashill because like his effort level isn't there, right? And I'm like, how are you measuring effort? But it's part of that kind of Red Wings culture, quote unquote, that he has to enforce. So I think he's a good coach. He's been successful at every level of the game. He's won a championship in the NCAA. He's won a Calder Cup with the Griffins. I don't think he has the best pieces right now. And he's still a new coach at the big level too, but I think there's a quote last week that said Holland had said that, other teams were starting to take notice of what Blashill was doing in the AHL. So they were going to lose him basically. So I don't know. I'm okay with it another year or two. Give Blash a shot, see what he can do. But definitely the leash is getting shorter.
Well, and the logic that you have there, really, if I was on the ledge about Jared Bednar, you talked me off of it right there. He's also won at every level, winning the Calder Cup just last year. So, shoot, all the Avs fans, I don't think there's that many Avs fans that are saying to get rid of him. I think it's mostly outsiders saying that they should look at getting rid of him. But 1 year when you have about 2 weeks to get ready and just the mess of this team having to fix the Patrick Wall-ness out of all these young guys.
Yeah.
Definitely want to give him another season. So.
He really did a number on them, eh?
It's not like you don't realize it until someone else comes in and tries to put in like a competent system. And he's like, oh geez, like this is a mess.
Yeah.
Cause it worked reasonably. Obviously it worked reasonably well his first year. Came in, but like the amount of, especially defensively, the defensive systems he tried to put in, when we have young and untalented players, young players and untalented players, cause I'm quite high on a lot of our young guys, especially if we can sign now Hobie Baker winner, Will Butcher, bring him in.
Oh, wow.
Defensive Hobie Baker winners really have that much of a pedigree. Well, old Matt Carl, they're not anything to get excited about.
That's very true. And then how is Avs land feeling about Sakic these days?
There's not a lot of dislike towards him. I think they're waiting anxiously to see what he does this summer, who he moves out, what he gets in return. But for the most part, you know, the decision, and I'm not sure, I don't think it was his decision to bring in Wah, but a lot of what he's done, I'm very fine with. Like what the pieces we got in the Ryan O'Reilly trade, which is really the only big thing that he's done, I can get behind that at 100%. JT Confer's looked pretty solid since he's come up this year. Zadorov. And honestly, I'm big on Gergensen's, even though he hasn't really gotten consistent time.
Yeah.
And, Ryan O'Reilly, nothing that he's done in Buffalo has me thinking, oh, that's the guy that's going to be the difference maker on this Avs team. So.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So, with the expansion draft coming up, we recently on the fourth line, website had a breakdown of the first seven teams eliminated from the playoffs. The Red Wings had the honor of being one of those. And, we picked who would be left unprotected and who would be left protected. Is there any, you know, ones that, I guess put it this way, who do you think is the biggest name the Wings will leave unprotected in the old expansion draft?
Oh, who do I think or who do I want?
I guess both.
Who do I think? I think realistically, it'll be someone like Darren Helm. I think Luke Glendening is going to be left unprotected, no doubt. But Darren Helm, I think, is going to be probably the most appealing name on that expansion list for Detroit. Who do I want? I'd love for them to leave like Justin Abdelkader unprotected. I love Abby. He's been a serviceable Red Wing, but man, that contract is so painful to look at.
4.25 for a serviceable player is way too much.
Well, and for that term too, it's way too long. It's going to be a handicap on that cap for a long time. You know, as far as defensemen go, I think they can leave Nicholas Cronwall unprotected and nothing will happen. but I don't think they will. I think that's more of a, that's kind of where the Red Wings loyalty comes into play. And I don't think they would do that to him. Well, Jonathan Erickson.
Especially now with, the list being made public, everyone's going to know who is and is not loved by this team.
Yeah, exactly. So. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if there's any follow-up from that. I don't think there will be. I'm assuming they got NHLPA approval to do that.
Yeah, you gotta think.
I'd hope so.
Well, Nick, let's get into the rest of the news of the week. Obviously, we've got two more days of hockey, tonight and tomorrow night, and then we're into the playoffs. We're right there. The biggest news of the week, I guess there was two big news items. Let's get into those first. The Olympics. The NHL officially said they are not going to the 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, something that almost every player I've seen, especially the stars, the ones going to the games, have said, you know, either no comment, I'm focusing on hockey, or I'm incredibly disappointed, I'm going to find a way to go play. So for you as a fan of hockey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointed are you that there will not be NHL players at the Winter Olympics?
I'm like a 3. I'm pretty disappointed. I really want to see like best on best hockey. It's always the most exciting tournament of hockey for me. So I'm pretty disappointed. I'm still going to watch the games. Like I'm still going to watch Olympic hockey.
You watch the entire KHL destroy our AHLers down here?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what's going to KHL plus Ovechkin, because that guy's pretty determined.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm disappointed. I mean, it is what it is. I see where the NHL is coming from. I see where the players are coming from. I think it's unfortunate for the NHL because no matter how you cut it, they look like the bad guys. You know, the IOC makes them look like the bad guys. The players make them look like the bad guys. But they have their reasons, and I think they're good reasons.
The biggest reason that they gave, for those who didn't see, is mostly the money side of it. And we always joke here on the show that all Batman cares about is money, but it's also true. And it's the reason that they're not going because they don't want to pay for the insurance. The IIHF offered to pay the insurance for the players, and Batman so graciously did not want to hurt international hockey. He wanted to get a piece of the IOC pot, wanted them to pay for it, and IOC wasn't budging, So now we don't get hockey. Or I guess we get hockey, but not NHLers at the Olympics. For me, I'm definitely disappointed. But here's the question I have for you. Is the World Cup enough of a replacement for a best-on-best tournament? Because that's what the NHL is going to hang their hat on. Is they say, well, we don't need the Olympics. We've got our own tournament where we make all the money, where we have to deal with all the insurance ourselves. Is that good enough for you?
No. You know what? I have to admit, I enjoyed the World Cup much more than I thought I would. Going into it, I was like, this is dumb. They have made-up teams for, you know, that don't make sense. But, you know, I think it's pretty objectively, the under-23 team was the most exciting team in that tournament. So I enjoyed it much more than I thought I would. So I got to give them credit for that. But it's not the same for me.
Yeah, it is different because especially for those of us who, and myself included, like I love it because I get to cheer on Canada. I get to watch them play against the best. I get to watch them hopefully, knock on wood, win against the best. And that's exciting. But now, you know, watching Connor McDavid play for Team North America, not as exciting as watching him play for Team Canada. Yeah. I would much rather have the leading scorer in the league on my team because he's part of my country. And I think that's what takes away from it a little bit. If you were to get rid of the novelty teams, as much as fun as Team North America was, you put Connor McDavid on Team Canada, I care a little bit more.
Yeah. I think the other thing that irks me is I'm a little bitter towards the NHL, and I would much rather watch a kind of neutral tournament that's put on by a neutral organization for all these countries. Because when the NHL is doing it, you know, they're highlighting kind of their players and their league, and I feel like the NHL is still kind of the focus of it.
No, absolutely. Joel sent in a submission. It's something we haven't busted out in quite some time. So he's sent in a kangaroo court for us here to go through. And he charges in the kangaroo court the hockey world with overreacting to NHL players not going to the Olympics. He says it's not a big deal. Everyone's overreacting. Do you think it's a big deal or not?
I mean, no. It's, you know, and the, no, it's not a big deal. I don't think. I think people are still going to watch Olympic hockey. I think it's still going to come down to like the top four or five nations, you know, Canada, U.S., Russia, Sweden, Finland. And I still think it's going to be a fun tournament. And I think the best part of it is that people will probably tune in to the Olympics and NBC will be showing Olympic hockey instead of NHL hockey.
That is the only thing that I get excitement and joy out of this from is the fact that the NHL gets screwed. Like, yeah. I just love the fact that for an entire week, 2 weeks, no one's going to be paying attention nearly as much to what the best players in the world are doing. They're going to be watching over here. But for me, I do think that it's a big deal because for me, like the Olympics is as appointment television and maybe even more so appointment television for me than the playoffs. Like the medal round of the Olympics versus the Stanley Cup finals. I woke up to watch in Sochi at what was it here? 3 a.m, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
Calgary time. If they were to hold game 2 or game seven of the Stanley Cup finals at 4 a.m, I'd be like, I'll record it and watch it later. I'm not getting up for that. And so for me, I do think that it's a big deal because I've shown in the past that I care enough to do these things to get up early to watch it. The memories of watching it, you know, watching Olympic hockey in school. I remember in Nagano, rolling the TV into the classroom and watching, the NHL players there. And that's something you don't like. I don't remember a hockey game from 1998 necessarily, but I do from the Olympics. I remember when I was in 2002 when they won. So for me, those are the reasons why, you know, it is important because I'm not going to know who any of these players are on some of these teams. Like, there's the odd player on a Sweden, on a Finland that you don't know of, but the most of the players on the team you know, right? You know Koivu, you know Backstrom, you know most of the Russian team, even though there are some great KHLers out there. obviously Canada and the US, you know all of them. And so for me, it's going to be hard to get behind some guys that I've never cheered for. I have never hated. There's no rivalry built there. It's literally just going to be sweater versus sweater, because I can't even make up Joe Schmo name, because I don't know who any of these guys are going to be.
That was a good one, though. Joe Schmo, that could be one of them.
Yeah, I have, it very well could be. I have no idea who the Blue Jackets AHL roster is, but they're going. That's who's going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point. Do you watch the World Juniors at all? Like, do you watch any other international tournaments?
So I watch the World Juniors. I don't watch Spangler. I don't watch the World Cup. So it's really just for me, World Juniors every Christmas and the Olympics every 4 years.
Yeah, because we watch the World Juniors every year too. And when I started thinking about that and how much I get into it and how much I enjoy it, that's when I started feeling okay with the NHLers not going. I'm like, if I can get behind these kids that I don't know, then I can get behind Team Canada that I don't know either.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair point. We'll see how, if the level of competition is that different compared to the other countries, where you have some players, you know, like Sweden has a great league. We had Caleb on a couple weeks ago. He's been playing over in Sweden. They've got quality competition over there. Russia, you know, all these other countries have their own leagues. And if Canada's getting destroyed, I'm going to not care very quickly.
Yeah, that's true. And especially if it's just Russia destroying everybody because it's all the KHL players, like, that's not going to be a fun tournament to watch either.
No, absolutely not. Well, the other news of the week, Brad Marchand, a 2-game suspension for spearing Mr. Dotson from the Tampa Bay Lightning. For us personally, the Boston Bruins are the whipping boys of the show, and Brad Marchand, the kingpin of the whipping boys. Obviously, you know, for me personally, 2 games at a minimum, and you kind of figured they weren't going to suspend into the playoffs because the Department of Player Safety doesn't really care about actually handing out meaningful penalties anymore. So, you know, suspend him for 2 meaningless games, essentially, and see what happens from there. I don't know, 2 games, enough, not enough. For me, it's not enough. I think they should have gone, you know, at least 1 game, that first game of the playoffs. Not a huge loss, but certainly you want your leading scorer in a playoff game.
He absolutely should have been suspended into the playoffs. Like, this Marchand situation is just a joke to me. He's been suspended before, including this time, 5 times. Like, 5 times for a total of 14 games.
Like, the repeatest of offenders.
Yeah, like, when is this guy going to learn? How is this guy going to learn? Take away some playoff games for him. He needs to stop doing this. Like, he doesn't need to do this. That's the thing. He's a really good hockey player. He's a good hockey player. He doesn't need to be taking cheap shots.
Well, and that's, you know, going back to the international competition thing, with him at the World Cup and how he, you know, kind of came alive playing under Babcock, I just hated having to cheer for that guy. Because he's such a dirty, just unnecessarily dirty player the rest of the time. Like,
yeah.
There's going to be, whether it be in the first round, if they get past it, in the second round, like, there will be at least one controversial play with Brad Marchand this playoffs. Because there always is. There's never a time where he's not, you know, giving someone a low blow, you know, a knee on knee, a spear. Like, there's always something, whether he's suspended for it, the slew foots a couple years back. There's always something that Brad Marchand is doing. He cannot play. And, you know, he'll probably say, well, I need that edge. I need to play on that edge to be me. You don't. You don't need to take that play that he did this week. Was out of the play, was entirely unnecessary. He literally just did it for his own selfish reasons. That was not playing on the edge. It was just being a jerk.
Completely. And he's up there. Like, I was looking at the points standings, and he's up there with, like, McDavid and Kane and Crosby. Like, he's producing with these guys, and these guys are the best players in the world. But when I looked at their penalty minutes, he has like 50 to 60 more penalty minutes than these guys.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a goon. He does not need to be so goony, but I think it's just like hardwired into him.
Yeah.
He can't stop.
This is the way he is.
It's just the way he is.
Yeah. My favorite story, I think I've mentioned on the show before, my grandma was out visiting and she was, you know, we were talking about hockey and she was like, oh, you do this like hockey thing every week. I don't fully understand what it is. I was like, yeah, grandma, we do that. And she's like, oh, okay. She's from the East Coast. She's from Halifax. And so she knows, you know, Crosby and McDavid.
Of course.
She knows all of them. And, she also knows Brad Marchand because Brad Marchand's grandma goes to her church. And, but as a lifelong Habs fan, will have nothing to do with her because he's on the Bruins. So, just loved my grandma just a little bit more that day.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, good on her. Obviously, my grandma thinks he should have been suspended for playoff games too.
Yeah. I think everybody's grandma thinks that if they saw what he did.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What is that young man doing to him over there? That's not okay.
Put it out to the grandparent community. Let them hand out the suspension.
Yeah, exactly. It'd probably be a lot more fair and realistic.
Yeah.
Than what we're getting right now.
If it's anything like the way I got punished by my grandparents.
Yeah, that's true. Go sit in the corner, young man.
Yeah, exactly. And don't you dare come out for the playoff game.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Speaking of playoffs, there is one spot left to be fought for, and that is the second wild card currently held by Joel's Leafs. As we mentioned, 84% chance Tampa beat the Habs last night. Toronto plays Pittsburgh tonight on Hockey Night in Canada. That is our high-staking game. So if you're listening to this and you haven't sent in your game-winning goal picks, Nick, I saw you did.
I did.
Yeah. You've got
Kessel right and Matthews. Top.
Oh, you're 1 point
Yo,
back.
What are you doing, like, spoiling my picks? Now everyone's just going to copy me.
Go on the internet. The first two we got were Kessel and Matthews. I think that's what everyone's go-to for this game is going to be.
Pick Kessel against Toronto.
Yeah, you kind of have to. And, Matthews is kind of good.
Just a little.
Yeah, he's decent.
Yeah, he's okay.
So the numbers say, and obviously if you're in a spot this late in the season, you're probably favored. The Leafs need 1 point, to win, this playoff spot. They've got the tiebreaker over Tampa and, the Islanders as well. So when it comes down to it, do you think the Leafs are going to make this? Joel is determined that they're not. Do the Leafs make the playoffs?
I think they're going to make it, but I'm having so much fun watching the Leafs fan base right now. My girlfriend is a lifelong diehard Leafs fan, so we are a very anxious household right now. And I'm feeling pretty relaxed. You know, my team's out of it, and these Leafs.
Yeah, it's very easy to look back, and I dare not say this to Joel in the heat of the moment, but, like, come on, your team's fighting for a playoff spot. I'm dead last. I've been dead last. I got eliminated, literally got eliminated a month ago from the playoffs. It's the first year of, like, your serious rebuild. You're going to be fine. Like, long run, you're going to be fine. But right now, it's not fun for them.
No, it's not. And it is tense. And you're watching these games that you would otherwise completely stay away from and have a free Friday night, but instead you're tied to watching Tampa and Montreal to see how they do. And then every time Tampa scores, you clench up a little more. I'm having fun. I think the Leafs will make it. I think they just need a point, right? At this point.
Yeah. And they can finish as high as first second in the Atlantic. So they have a chance. I believe the numbers say 2% chance of finishing second in the Atlantic. They would have to win out and have Ottawa. They'd finish with 97. Ottawa sitting with 96 points right now.
Yeah.
So certainly possible. Obviously, the Leafs need 1 point. Columbus is the team that they're going to get that point against for sure.
Yeah, I would agree.
They've been struggling mightily down the stretch here. Definitely backing into the playoffs. So.
Yeah. For sure. They need other teams to lose, which isn't really the situation you want to be in. But again, like, you need Tampa to win out. You need the Islanders to win out. I don't know what the odds of that happening are, but
they're not high. I know
they're not high, right?
Yeah.
So I think the Leafs will be okay. I think they want to face Ottawa and not Washington.
For sure. Yeah. You want to get that other game. The thing that helps the Leafs. So the Islanders play the Devils tonight. That doesn't help them at all. No. But tomorrow the Islanders and the Sens play. And the Sens, I do think they will be playing, depending on the results of tonight, you want that home ice and you definitely, don't want to face Washington.
No.
And so, you know, they'll be sending out, their best for that game. And will be a tough competition for the Islanders there. So for me, that is the one to look at as well. Tampa plays Buffalo. So you need to win that one there, Leafs. You do need a point because Tampa's getting two.
Yeah, for sure. But I think the message to Leafs fans needs to be just breathe. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Just breathe. This team is, you know, I don't want to run this thing into the ground, but this team is actually good. So, trust the team, trust the coach. You will make the playoffs. You will not escape the first round against Washington.
No, you can. That's what we talked about Washington last week, and I was looking a bit more at this, kind of looking into the actual first round. Washington is not getting enough credit for the simple fact that I think their regular season has been better than the great regular season they had last year.
Yeah,
and the fact that that division is so tight. They're not running away with it anymore. Pittsburgh played a great full regular season instead of a great three quarters of a regular season like last year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, their goal differential is about 20 higher than it was last year, which is crazy to think about how everyone last year was talking about the otherworldly numbers the Caps are putting up. And this year, they're outperforming themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, they're a good hockey team. I think they're who I'm rooting for in the Eastern Conference this year. I think it's time. Let's get it over with. Give Ovechkin his cup and we can move on from this. Will they, won't they?
Next year he'll go play in the KHL for the rest of it. He'll be banned for life from here. It'll be fine. He'll go win a gold medal, a Stanley Cup. Everything's coming up Ovi.
Everything's coming up Ovi. And he'll ride off into the sunset.
Exactly.
Beautiful Russian sunset.
With his silver streaks flowing behind him. Obviously, everyone knows that I am fully behind the Caps going to the playoffs, and it's hard after all these years to not think that they're going to struggle because they have every time. It's even, you know, that's the only reason why. No, you don't want to play the Caps, but there's a little bit of like, will they, won't they, if you're playing them?
Yeah. And for them, it's all mental too at this point. Like, they have the skill. Clearly, look at their regular season, right? So they need to get over that like mental hurdle that is the second round. Like, they just need to push through. So yeah, it's not an easy thing to do by any means. Like, the playoffs are, they're not easy mentally. Or physically on the players, having to play every other night for 2 months, but, they have to find a way to get over that.
Yeah, they do. So we have going into tonight's games. Obviously after tonight, there'll be a lot more settled. A lot of teams are playing their last games tonight. Some of them are playing their last games tomorrow. Right now we have 3 of the 8 matchups fully determined. So let's start in the Metro. The Caps don't have theirs, obviously. They need to figure out who's winning that wild card. But Pittsburgh and Columbus. Separated by 5 points in the standings. Columbus, you know, I talk about goal differential. Columbus with it still with a higher goal differential, but could not be more polar opposites right now. Pittsburgh winners of 4 in a row. Columbus losers of 4 in a row. Is this going to be as lopsided as I feel it is?
Yes, I think so.
Excellent. All right, next series.
Short answer. let's move on. No, I think I'm actually, of the 3 that are set, I'm probably most excited about this one. There's a bit of, you know, there's a bit of bad blood there. There's a little bit of a rivalry, and I think that'll get to the next level in the series. But I think Columbus has had a lot of good luck this year. They're a good team. And I'm always one to cheer for the underdog, so I would love to see them pull the upset. But I think Pittsburgh is just too big of a hurdle for them, especially if like Malkin should be back, Hagelin should be back, and I think Alimata should be back too.
Yeah, obviously, the news coming out this week, Chris Letang having a herniated disc surgery. So he will be out throughout the season. They, at this point, really just hope that he can be back healthy at some point next year. No real long-term, goals for him. Definitely disappointed. A talented player with some terrible, terrible luck with injuries.
Yeah, he's had a rough go, eh?
Yeah. Not the best for old Chris Letang.
No, and not the best for the Penguins either. And there's like, when that news came out, I saw some people online were like, well, there goes the Pens' chances. Letang's out the door. See ya, Pittsburgh. But I don't know. I think Pittsburgh has the best chance of, I think they have a good chance of repeating this year. And then any other year. I think that they could do it. By the way, do you know who the last team was to win two cups in a row?
I'm going to go with the Detroit Red Wings.
97-98. Just thought I'd slide that in there.
A little, bringing up the old brawl, 97.
That's right.
It's fine. I'm not bitter about it still. Sorry. We won in 02. I can't be that sad. I've won this millennium, which a lot of teams can't say.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Yeah, for me, I definitely have, you know, watching Pittsburgh-Columbus games this year, you've seen a lot of very tough competition, fairly close games for the most part, and two teams, as you mentioned, starting to hate each other a little bit. I know the Columbus fans hate Pittsburgh fans, and I think we're starting to see Pittsburgh fans start to hate Columbus. That's, you never want to be on that side of the rivalry where it's like super one-sided.
Yeah.
Like, as a Blue Jays fan, I hate the Red Sox and the Yankees, but they hate each other way more than they hate us. So, like,
it's true.
It's not a rivalry if you just, like, hey, guys, like, the little brother trying to, like, get everyone's attention. Hey, we're here too. Even making the playoffs the last 2 years, still no respect.
Yeah. It's true.
So I think we're starting to see that. However, I could easily see this series. If I had to put a number on it, I would be saying Pittsburgh in 5.
I would say Pittsburgh in 6, I think is what I had. I think, like, if Columbus has any chance at all, it's going to come from Bobrovsky.
Oh, 100%.
He's their, like, one kind of golden ticket out of that round. So they're going to kind of live and die by him.
Yeah. That is the case. And I will be cheering for Pittsburgh in that, because as much as an underdog is great, I cannot cheer for a John Tortorella underdog. It's just not the way.
Fair enough.
I can't do that.
Fair enough.
Flipping over to the other side. Or I guess no, not to the other side yet. Habs Rangers. That is determined. Montreal will be playing the New York Rangers, separated by 1 point in the standings, incredibly close. And this is one matchup. As much as Columbus will live and die by Bobrovsky, both of these teams will live and die by their goaltending. Outside of goaltending, which of these teams do you think is better?
I gotta go with Montreal. I think this is the series that I keep flip-flopping back and forth within my head. It's gonna be the closest one to call, I think, but I don't think New York's defense is good enough to get them past the Habs.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think we've seen Montreal, they did not have Shea Weber, Alexi Emelin, last night against Tampa. And so, you know, their decor, not entirely healthy either. And, Shea Weber, not the spring chicken. We saw, you know, that's kind of where I started to, the shine of Shea Weber came off for me last year was in the playoffs against the Ducks when you saw him being beaten time after time after time. After 82 games, sure, Shea Weber looks great in an all-star game when he has to shoot a puck a million miles an hour. Shea Weber looks great in game 20. Game 88, Shea Weber does not look very good.
Yeah, he starts to break down a little bit. And if I remember, back when Detroit was in the West, they faced Nashville a few times in the playoffs, and that guy was, he's taking penalties. He gets a little rough.
Yeah, well, especially when you need to, cheat. You need to clutch, grab, hook, slash, do whatever you can to make up for the fact that you're 6'8", 300 pounds trying to skate down the ice. It's not exactly the easiest.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. The one thing New York has, though, is speed. Like, they are a fast team, and they transition up and down the ice really well and really quickly. We were in California last week, and we went to a game in each of the arenas, and it just happened to be the Rangers West Coast Tour. So we saw the Rangers all week. So I got to know the Rangers quite a bit, and they are fast.
Yeah,
they're very fast.
That is 100% a thing, and I think, you know, it's a change from the Rangers of the last few years for sure. And you look at this team and you look at the names on the team, and you see like Rick Nash is up there. And if you look at this team and assume that they are Rick Nash, that's not the style of play that they are. He is not the Rick Nash of old. He has taken a Shea Weber size step down in terms of speed. And they're really just surrounded him with a lot of very fast players. So yeah. For that reason alone, and for the fact that Montreal has a lot of older, slower defensemen, I think we're going to see the Rangers take this one.
Yeah, you think the Rangers are going to take it?
I do.
How many games?
Seven.
Seven games?
And again, Carey Price can change anything, but we've seen Henrik Lundqvist do the exact same thing on the other side, and he's quite fresh, having sat a couple extra games. They're coming back from that injury. So if they use that extra time as like a give Henrik extra time to heal, or if he actually needed that, I'm in the camp of they just gave him the extra time, because why not give him the extra time?
Yeah, I think so too. But I don't think this is Lundqvist of years past. He's not the same goalie anymore. He's a little older, a little slower. So if these teams are living and dying by their goalies, then I think Montreal's going to take it. And I think they're going to take it in seven.
Well, and, you know, when it comes down to game seven, it's literally a coin flip. So,
yeah.
This one could go either way. Now we go to the other side. San Jose and Edmonton is the only series set right now in the East. No, that's the West. That's as West as you can get, San Jose.
Do you know where you are right now, Carl?
I am in Calgary. They have a team in the Western Conference. Yeah, that's a thing, right?
Yes.
Ooh, it's almost 9 o'clock. I might know by nine where I live.
All right, good. We'll get you there.
It's a good thing you got my back.
Yeah.
Edmonton and San Jose. And this is a matchup we saw. San Jose recently came through Alberta, played both these teams, played very close games. No matter who San Jose played, it was going to be a good series. And, you know, San Jose obviously made a run to the Stanley Cup Finals last year, ultimately losing to Pittsburgh. I'm not sure that they can do it again, but this is going to be a great series. This is the one, as much as Pittsburgh and Columbus hate each other, I am very excited to watch this series because the unknown of the Oilers. How good, like, Connor McDavid, we've seen him put this team on his back all year. What is playoff Connor McDavid like? I want to see that.
Oh, I agree. Definitely. This is definitely going to be the late game on every night, over here. Yeah. And there's a little bit of bad blood between these guys too, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Well, and, you know, having Lucic on the Oilers, he's been down in LA. He's got, you know, playing against the Sharks all that time. There's not a non-zero amount.
Yeah. This should be pretty good. And I was like, this is definitely the conference, actually the division I know less about, because I'm so far on the other side. But I, going into this, I was thinking like, oh, definitely Sharks are going to take it. But like the Oilers are 3-1 against the Sharks this year. So I don't know. Maybe the Oilers can pull it out. They've definitely had a great season thanks to McDavid. Cam Talbot's still the goalie, right? Yes. In Edmonton?
Yeah,
okay. You never hear about Edmonton's goaltending anymore.
I was going to say, yeah, you don't hear any. There's Connor McDavid. There's Milan Lucic. That's about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Every once in a while, Chris Russell's brought up, but I don't want to talk about Chris Russell. And then going into the playoffs, the Oilers are 8-2-1 in their last 10, and San Jose's been on a pretty bad stretch. They've been losing a lot of games, so, and they just lost Thornton too. I think if Thornton and Couture are back in the lineup, San Jose has a pretty good chance of kind of jumping on a more unexperienced Oilers team.
Yeah, and that's really what it'll come down to, is the experience factor of the Sharks versus the Oilers. The biggest concern I would have for the Sharks is we saw them beating a lot of teams on the way to the playoff or the finals last year, and then fell apart against a very fast Penguins team in the finals. And certainly, as an entire collective, the Oilers are not fast, but they have, you know, the Connor McDavids and that. And when it comes to a playoff series, these games are going to be so tight. Hockey is not a game that one forward or one defenseman can turn it. But when it comes to the playoffs in a 7-game series, it could only take one game for him to really just go ham on this.
Yeah.
And it's the only time where I can kind of say they have one great player. So I trust them.
Yeah, I know. And McDavid is just like, it can't be understated how good of a hockey player he is. And I know you guys have spoken about this on the show before, and you get to see him much more, but man, he's so good.
Yeah,
I'm excited to watch that series just to watch Connor McDavid.
And the Burns McDavid matchup on that back end.
Yeah,
gonna, you know, that's what we find out. Brent Burns had a lot of MVP talk this year for his offensive side of his game. How is that going to work on the defensive side? I'm very excited for this. This is obviously of the matchups, as you mentioned, you'll have it on as your late game. I think everyone's having this as their late game.
Yeah, probably.
Because your other matchup currently, and it's not set because there's still one more game for each of these teams, Anaheim-Calgary, which if you want to watch the Flames lose in Anaheim for the 71st time in a row, you can tune into that.
What is with the Flames losing in all these West Coast buildings all the time?
You'd think that, like, you probably can't make the playoffs if you can't beat one of your division opponents. Apparently, you can. That's just a thing that can happen. Who knew?
Well, LA had a pretty bad year this year, which I didn't see coming. I saw them squeezing in, but whatever. I'll take Calgary instead. I'll take Canadian team. The Flames are fun to watch. They're exciting to watch. You know, Matthew Tkachuk's definitely going to stir up a bit of a craze, I think, in Anaheim. And
like an entire series of Matthew Tkachuk versus Corey Perry and Ryan Kessler.
So much face washing.
Yeah. They're someone's fingers getting bit. That's what we know. Yeah. That's what's going to happen by the end of this series.
Exactly. Johnny Gaudreau is also very exciting to watch, but like the Ducks are a tough team. They're going to be a tough team to beat. I think in that matchup, I'd have to take the Ducks. But I don't think the Ducks are going to go all the way.
No, I personally think whoever wins the Edmonton San Jose series moves on to the conference finals.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, the Ducks, for the same reason that we looked at the, in the East, that is the East. I had to think about it for a second, of why Montreal, will struggle with that. You know, they added size at the deadline, which is, these days in the NHL, it's a 10 years ago strategy for a trade deadline, but lately you want to be adding speed. Montreal went and added size. They got older and slower. Anaheim, there's definitely some skill on this team, but they're no spring chickens.
No.
And, definitely a physical team to play against, but very much in the line of, LA. They're about 2 years from the LA sized decline, unless they can fix their problems quicker than Dean Lombardi can fix the Kings.
Yeah. I hear that. Speaking of Anaheim's grit, did you see that guy take a cheap shot the other night at, I think it was against Chicago. One of the Anaheim players just like knocked him out. Nick Ritchie, yeah.
He got
suspended, I think.
Yeah. A game? Potentially two. I think it was two because he's missing the first playoff game. So if I remember correctly.
Crazy.
Yeah. And then the Central. We haven't talked about that because there's a lot of still unknowns. Chicago's won it. Minnesota's finishing second. But that third slot of St. Louis, Nashville could flip-flop. Probably not, though. We're probably going to be having a Minnesota-St. Louis matchup. And I said last week when it was Nashville in that spot, the matchup I want to watch the least is Minnesota-Nashville. Now it's the matchup I want to watch the least is Minnesota-St. Louis. Apparently, I just don't want to watch the Wild.
Fair enough. I think the if I'm the Wild, I want to play St. Louis before I play Nashville. But that's just me. St. Louis has they've got a pretty good top six. But shaky goaltending this year. Although I think he's been better to finish out the season. The team's definitely turned it around in the second half of the season, but I'd still want to play Nashville St. Louis over Nashville.
Yeah, I'm with you at the goaltending problem there. The thing that I've questioned, and I know it's a hard thing to do because you've got all this money, all this, pressure from fans, all this notoriety behind them. Is it time for Nashville to make a change in net? Like, I know going into the playoffs, you see all the time, you know, there was a few years ago, they ended up winning the cup, but Corey Crawford almost got ditched to the side for Scott Darling.
Yeah.
And I could very easily see Pekka Rinne off to the side and, Mr. Saros in net and, doing that. What do you think?
If there's one thing holding Nashville back, it's their goaltending. Like, Pekka Rinne has been streaky his whole career. I could definitely see him taking a back seat this year. And Saros taking over. I haven't watched too much of him, so I don't know how good he is or how easily he can run away with it. But the goaltending is definitely the biggest question mark for me in Nashville.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, it he's impressed when I've watched him. He has looked like a starting goaltender at 21 years of age. We saw last year Matt Murray, a rookie goaltender, coming in and doing that. Not saying that they're the same or the same will happen. But it's not unheard of in the Stanley Cup finals or playoffs for something like that to happen. And, goaltending decisions, that's the one thing. Like, sure, you can tweak your lines. Like, you probably know your 18 forwards that you're going to be playing. And no one's going to be like, oh, you sat this guy? No. Sitting a bottom pairing defenseman or a fourth liner. We benched Joel this week. No one's really complaining about that. But goaltending is where coaches live and die in these playoffs. Because you have a bad game, and immediately it's, well, are you going back to him?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And then, like, you fall behind one game. Like, sometimes one game, it's hard to come back from that.
Yeah. Obviously winning 4-2, if you could win 4-2 games on, just like that, you'd be the best team in the league.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Definitely, that's one thing that I always find interesting to watch, and do not envy the coaches when it comes to those decisions, because certainly, like, there's the teams that you won't question. Montreal, Carey Price is the guy. They're not, if they pull him, you're not asking the question, is Al Montoya getting the next? No, Al Montoya is not getting the next game unless Carey Price, like, he has to be significantly injured. If he has a tweak, he's playing. That team is Carey Price. Same thing. Braden Holtby's getting the time. Philip Grubauer, sure, quality backup. Braden Holtby's that team. But you have these situations like Nashville, like, St. Louis in the past, not necessarily this year with Brian Elliott gone. Nashville really, to me, is the only one with a clear cut will they, won't they? Because a lot of these tandem, same thing, Anaheim got rid of Anderson.
Yeah.
So a lot of these tandem goalies are gone. Brian Elliott's stolen the job back in Calgary. So I'm sure by the time the first round's over, we'll have some new goalie controversies. But I don't know. As you mentioned, maybe the Rangers.
Yeah, Andrew, I was going to say.
Quality guy with Lundqvist hurt. That could be one people are asking for.
Totally. Rantas had a really good year, actually. So I wouldn't be surprised if they give him a game in the first round and see how he does.
Sure. Well,
especially if Lundqvist has a bad one.
Yeah. Well, I believe, is Tuesday the official day that this gets kicked off?
You know what? I don't know. Was there an announcement?
I've tried to find it. I don't know. I'm assuming it's Tuesday. I think they usually give them a day off in between the end of the regular season, the start of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Knowing the NHL, it's probably going to be like 3 days because they hate momentum. so they're just going to let everyone forget about them for a few days and get back into it.
You know, it's funny. There's a lot of rivalries between fan bases, but if there's one thing everyone can agree on is that the NHL sucks.
Well, it's there was and we heard back again from last week, but there was the guy from the UK who emailed in and said, you know, you guys love this game. You love, you know, obviously enough to sit around and talk about it for an hour every week. But you hate the league. Like, I don't understand what's going on here. There's a lot of reasons. And
yes,
in spite of that fact, we still love this game.
At the very least, it brings us all together with one common feeling.
Yeah, for sure. Well, last week we put it out there, Nick, talking about, we got on the topic of a guy who claims he has mutant superpowers, calling himself the human suction cup.
Yes, I heard that.
Not really that super of a power, but we got on the topic of, X-Men in hockey and which kind of X-Men-like abilities would be the best. And we got two camps of answers. We got the Wolverine camp where they heal immediately. And then there's the Quicksilver camp where they can essentially like slow down time to nothing. And to me, it's not even close what you want. You want to slow down time.
I think so.
What is...
Don't you?
As soon as we finished, Joel never told me. He was like, I have the answer. This answer wins. This is it. Because he was like, what if you could fly? And like, or if you had like the laser beam eye thing, you could like melt the ice. Not helpful. That doesn't help anyone. Now we just have to get the Zamboni out here to clean up your mess. Potentially this was an answer I forgot to ask, but I think when it comes down to it, not close.
I have one to throw in the mix.
Oh, please do.
What about Storm? I think the ability, so this wouldn't be useful for hockey players, but it would completely eliminate the need to have to Zamboni the ice between periods, because you just get a little rain, a little wind going, boom, ice is done. And then once you figure that out, you can fulfill the NHL's dream of having every single game played outdoors because you can just control the weather for it.
That's perfect.
And they make so much money.
Yeah. Every, you know what? Just go Las Vegas, stop finishing your new arena. The Raiders are coming. Just play in that one. Just one arena for both of you. You're now, it's shared. You're splitting the costs. Exactly. Taxpayers are going to love you because they're probably paying for both those stadiums.
Exactly.
That's great. Yeah.
As far as hockey players go, though, I definitely agree with you on the super speed. Like, slow down time would be key. It definitely feels like there are some players who have that already.
Yeah. And it would be terrible to watch. Cause like, for us, it would be real time. And so I was like, oh, the puck's in the net. How did that get there?
So yeah.
Ruin the watchability of the game. but
we'll, completely.
Well, I guess maybe what you just do is you just send all five of your Wolverine guys, put them like across, like around the crease with like just their talons out and right. Just slash.
Right.
And he's going so fast. They're like, did you see me slash him? I didn't. Yeah. Did you? Okay. No penalty. Cool. We're good.
Well, where do you think these claw marks across his chest came from?
Review it. I know it's not reviewable. Review it. Go ahead. Slow it down even.
Oh, what have we done to our game?
Hey, it's nothing worse than anything Batman's done, so.
That's true.
Nick, you are a former high-sticking champion.
I am.
Which is, you know, only one of your claims to fame. Like, it's on the old resume for sure.
It's up there.
Yeah. It's like awards at the bottom, Fourth Line Podcast, High Sticking, January 2017.
Exactly. I'm surprised you didn't introduce me to the podcast as a High Sticking winner, Nick Segan.
mistakes were made. You know what? I can go back and edit. I have the rest.
You can
of it.
Edit it out.
Yeah. We'll just slot that in there. We are coming up two more days left in the session. We extend it to the end of the regular season and it is close up at the top. Mike Laybourne, who writes for the site, is winning. I checked. There is no bias. That is just legitimately, he's got the most points. You are one back in second.
Yeah.
And there is a slew of folks at, behind that. But what we really are following is the matchup between the couple, Chris and Kristen Meyer. The loser of this month of high staking has to plan a date night for the other. And, Chris is currently 4 points back with only 2 games left. So, if you guys have any date night suggestions for Chris, he's open. He's definitely in need of help.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 points.
It's not impossible.
2 days. It's not impossible.
But, you know, Tampa could make the playoffs.
Exactly.
The Islanders could make the playoffs, but, probably not. So, wrap these up, and then it comes to the playoff time. And for the playoffs, we did this last year, and because, I apparently do not enjoy being able to keep track of everything properly, we are going to play high sticking for every single game. And if it goes terribly and it gets out of hand, we'll fix it. But until then, we are going to play for every game. So every day, stay tuned on Twitter so that you don't have to check the schedule. We'll tell you every game that's happening every night through the playoffs on Twitter. And you can pick one player from each team who you think will score the game winner and be the playoff hero. Who are the heroes in the playoffs? It's the good players. So, who's going to score the winners?
Oh, man, this is going to be fun. Every game?
Every game, 3 points
I'm
up.
I'm ready.
You could, so, you know, you're sitting right now at 24 points. If you play your cards right, day two of playoffs, you're already at 24. So.
All right.
Get your guessing fingers ready and, you know, if it becomes, like I said, we'll play it by ear. If it becomes terrible, if we've burdened you down, but, you know, our listeners have come through in the past and we're pretty sure they can do it again.
Well, I'm ready. And actually, I'm coming after Mike for that first spot too in the regular season.
I like it.
So.
So your pick of Brian Boyle and Olli Maatta tonight, is gonna be, that's the winner. Brian Boyle, Olli Maatta.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brian Boyle, Olli Maatta. Pick 'em, Mike. Pick 'em.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. You can head over to our Twitter and do that. We'll give that out at the end of the show. But Nick, thank you very much for filling in for Joel. It was a blast having you on. We've obviously been, you know, playing high sticking with you for, you know, many, many moons, and, glad to finally have you on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to do this. I'm a big fan of the show. I've been listening since back when you had the old theme song, just the bass line.
Yeah.
Bom, bada, bom, bom.
Yeah. That there have been some changes over the years. I was actually, I was meaning to ask you how long did, like, you haven't listened pre-Joel, right? Like, are you?
Yeah. Well, actually, when you guys first started the podcast, there's like 3 or 4 of you on it, right?
Yeah.
I was listening, like, I listened to the first couple months of it, and then I fell out of podcasting completely. And then when I came back, it was with Joel.
Okay.
Well, yep.
Welcome you back with a change of scenery.
It's been great though. You guys do good work, so.
Well, appreciate that. And appreciate your work over at Wings Nation. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find some of your work out on the internets?
Yeah, so we're at wingsnation.com, part of the Nation Network. So give us a follow on Twitter at the Wings Nation. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at NickSegan19, spelt the same way as a hockey player. Give me a follow. Any Red Wings fans out there, if you're interested in writing, contributing, we're always open to that. But come talk to us. We've got a good group of writers. Everyone loves talking Red Wings. So, yeah.
Definitely give Nick a follow. He is a great source, not just for Red Wings content, but all hockey content. Nick is well-versed, as we saw over the last hour, well-versed in all things hockey, except for who the Oilers goaltender is. That's the only thing he doesn't know. Everything else, he's good.
That's right.
Well, Nick, thanks
Cam
again.
Talbot. I learned now. I'm fully rounded.
Yeah, now you're set. You're ready for the playoffs. When you're watching that lake and you're like, do they have, who is it? Is it Laurent Boissois? Who, I don't know. Okay, Cam Talbot. There it is.
There it is.
You can find us on Twitter at Fourth Line Podcast, Facebook.com/Fourth Line Podcast, and TheFourthLinePodcast.com. We had a couple articles this week up on the Olympics, and we will certainly be having more great content for you throughout the playoffs. Also, you can find us at Last Word on Sports and Nuts and Bolts Sports. Make sure to follow Nick at NickSagan19 and at The Wings Nation.
The Wings Nation is on Twitter.
The Wings Nation. Thank you again. We will most certainly have you back on the show in the future.
Thanks, man.